is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Okay, Chair. Calm down. Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Dan. I despise Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and I think some Lifetime Christmas movies make the other ones, seem worthwhile. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Hi, everybody. Hey. Welcome to another Monday. We're 3 Mondays now into Christmas in July, and I just feel like I'm hitting my stride
Getting
now.
Your stride.
I'm hitting my stride, and then they're just going to take it out from underneath me.
And just go back to normal programming.
Like monsters.
Alonzo, in your intro, you said that you think some Lifetime movies...
Yeah, they all came out really weird.
So make all the other ones seem worthwhile. Are you saying that most Lifetime movies are good and only a few are bad? Is that what you're saying?
As Willy Wonka would say, take that, reverse it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Good day, sir. I said good day. That's right. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, even I was confused.
I was trying my best, and we finished it, and I was during the song. I was like... Some of them make the rest. There's some that are just so awful that,
it's very early on the West Coast. My improv chops are not what they should be.
Chicken, retired police officer, penguin dance. Go, work it in.
I need a place and no.
We're talking a sugar and spice holiday.
To be confused with Sugar and Spice, that movie where the cheerleaders had masks and rob banks, right. Correct?
Yes. Not a spinoff.
What if it was?
Not the Christmas special version of that.
Not the Christmas special version of that.
Is it possible? Like, we just need to like tilt our head? Like, there's no worlds?
There's no worlds. Okay. None, I don't think.
No shared universe.
Boy, would that be something.
Guys, I'm just thoroughly enjoying Christmas in July. I know it's not for everybody. Some people get mad. Where are my Golden Girls and stuff? But for me, it's just what I need. In the heat of the day.
I just think Christmas in July is just one of the dumbest things ever.
You asked me, I know. I asked you the other day, before we started this thing, if I had told you there is a real TV channel that switches to all Christmas in the middle of the summer, what would you say?
Oh my gosh. I'd just be like, this is the most absurd thing. When I was a kid, I went to RA camp. You familiar with the RAs?
Rascal, no. Alliance.
You want to give it a shot, RAs? You got it?
I just know Resident Advisor.
No, it was, yeah.
Rapture?
It's closest. Okay. Rapture's Apocalypse. Closest. It was a ministry of the church. It was called the Royal Ambassadors. It was basically like Christian Boy Scouts. And you did the soapbox derby and you did all these
unlike
things.
Unlike the regular Boy Scouts, that's right. Which are such heathens.
Yeah. That's right. Unlike those devils worshiping Eagle Scouts. And what you do is you go to RA camp, which was in South Carolina. It was where all of them is up there near, Pumpkin Town.
Yeah.
And
what's the name of the camp?
McCall RA camp.
Yeah.
Close to Table Rock. And you go and you get to wade in the creek and play sports and all this stuff. I went once on it during the last week in July, and they made a huge deal about Christmas in July. And it was the first I'd ever heard of it. And I remember just pulling one of the counselors aside and going, why? Why are we doing this? And they're like, because it's Christmas in July. I was like, why?
I will say Christmas in June makes more sense because of Leon Day.
It's 6 months. Because
you can celebrate, June 25th, and it's the true halfway point. Christmas in July doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Do you know
unless
that
you're
celebrate.
Asking my heart, and it makes all the sense in the world.
But do you, those people that celebrate half birthdays, those people are awful. Why are we celebrating Jesus' half birthday? Let's just wait till the full year goes around.
Have you met Jesus?
Dan, are you telling me you would rather have 3 solid months of Hallmark original summer movies?
You have a point. No, I'm not saying that the movies are worse. I'm just saying the whole idea as a whole, it just is absurd. I love the 5 weeks of Christmas. It's special. Thanksgiving through New Year's is a great time. Let's just keep it there.
But you would agree if there is one person that deserves a half birthday party, it is Jesus Christ?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Good Lord.
I want to go back to Pumpkin Town? Is that really a place?
It's a real place. There's one stop sign. It's Welcome to Pumpkin Town. That is
that seems like a setting for like a Hallmark fall movie.
Yeah. It's right up the road from Sugar Tip.
It is. There is a town called Sugar Tip as well. I don't know if we can say that on this.
Mel Gibson has a house.
That's
there.
The name of the town. Yeah. I don't know what you want.
Pumpkin Town is like. It's like a setting for a Hallmark movie, but with fewer teeth.
As are so many settings for Hallmark movies. That's right. But do they do like a, is there a Halloween festival?
All I know is the one intersection where there are things. There's like a general, it's literally one stop sign, four-way stop intersection. And there's a general store. There's pumpkins outside of it. It says like Pumpkin Town General Store. I think on the other corner, there's like there's not even a gas station. Like it is tiny, but it is Pumpkin Town, South Carolina is real. I promise.
Because it should be like the Christmas in Evergreen for Halloween.
Yeah.
Right?
I wonder,
let's table this for another day.
You're leaving money on the table.
Nobody should take this idea from us because we're going to write that. We'll talk. when we have our writer's table meeting in a couple days.
This says Pumpkin Town's way bigger than I thought. It says there's
16 people.
70,000 people.
Wow.
That live there. I don't believe that for a second. Are they including all of Pickens County?
It's possible.
I mean, it's so little. There's no way that it's that many people.
There's no way. No. There's no way.
No.
It's everybody who stopped for sweet corn.
Unless they're
all... It was settled in 1745.
Unless
holy cow.
They are all witches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because then...
Pumpkin Town makes sense.
How do you count them? Yeah. They're all flying around.
All of them witches.
An accepted name spelling for this is Pumpkin Town, P-U-N-K-I-N, town, two words. I'm not making that up.
Someone that edited the wiki and no one fixed it. That's not real.
Pumpkin Town. Hey, you going to Pumpkin Town?
Won't you take me to Pumpkin Town?
Pumpkin Town.
There's no way that a town of 70,000 people allows Punting Count.
Punting Count? What are you talking about?
Puttin' Tame.
I am 100% telling you there's no way there's 70,000 people there. No. Maybe cells. There's maybe 70,000 cells. I've maybe seen six people in Pumpkin Town. No way. Or Pumpkin Town.
Pumpkin Town. Please.
Well, while we're talking about pumpkin, let's talk about a sugar and spice holiday. It originally aired, everybody, on December 13th,
2020.
And it went a little something like this. A young girl builds a gingerbread house with her Nima. Is that how you say it? Nema?
Nima?
Nima?
Nima, I think's right.
And they talk about baking, and it's a lot of fun. Flash forward, this little girl is now all grown up. Her name's Susie. She works as an architect. She's crushing it. She is, her assistant says she's perfect at everything she does. She has this odd thing she does where she, in her mind, compares all of the people in her life to baked goods.
Yes, yes.
And it starts off cute, then it gets weird. Then it gets inappropriate. But who are we? Yeah. I mean, if that's your thing, that's your thing. I don't know. She's up for promotion at work, as you are in these movies. There's a rival named Marshall, the fire marshal. He's up for the same promotion. They have to get their proposals in by New Year's Eve. And she's like, I'm going to home for Christmas. And the boss is like, so what? And she's like, fair enough. Susie goes home for the holidays and learns that the local town bake-off is happening, and there's an old classmate named Billy, who's kind of heading the whole team.
Billy Bits.
And Billy Bits is, man, that's a callback to a few weeks ago.
Right.
How about that? Billy Bits is putting the team together so that if they win, they can help save the community center. But Susie hasn't baked since Nima passed away. Her brother, Wayne, and sister-in-law encourage him to give Billy another chance. He's a good dude. We see Susie throughout this movie dreaming of Nima, who's giving her advice, encouraging her to bake, encouraging her to better herself, and so she agrees to join the baking competition. Billy shows Susie the bakery kitchen with the co-workers. We see a high school bully turned the sweetest person in the world, and another guy who is there, not there.
Stavros.
Then there again. You? Stavros. I'm so sorry. They all work together. They make a little house just to get their chops wet.
What?
At a town Christmas festival, Susie takes her niece and nephew shopping, runs into Billy. They get in a snowball fight. Standard. The first round of baking happens. They get third place, still moves forward, but that's not good enough. She's not happy about it, but you got to celebrate when you move on. And so to do that, she does karaoke despite hating it. Starts off with her being really bad. Billy then dances really poorly, and I guess that helps her singing? I don't know. But Susie is just starting to let go, starting to have fun. And then she gets news that they, instead of New Year's Eve, the proposals need to be in by Christmas Eve. The stress starts to get to Susie with the bake-off. She can't handle all of the responsibility. She messes up in the second round after the rolling pin that belonged to her grandma breaks, cracks. She adds too much salt. They are eliminated, Dan. We gasped. We couldn't believe it. Billy tries to cheer Susie up by recreating a Christmas dance that he blew her off at all those years ago. And turns out they both really liked each other in high school. Now they get the chance to dance. They get the cops called on them, but no big deal. He then comes over, shares a meal with Susie's family, impresses her mom by liking stinky tofu. And they then have, not the mom, the two leads, have the most sensual baking scene in the history of cinema. I'll say it. They almost kiss, but they get interrupted by those dang kids. Speaking of dang kids, one of those dang kids unplugs her computer. Her laptop dies. All of the things that she's been working on, gonzo. She then goes to find Billy. And tells Billy that she got good news. Hey, you've been working on this toy. I sent in your plans to someone I know. They love it. They want to talk to you. He's like, I don't want that. He goes. He leaves. And then she gets a text, and it turns out Marshall, the fire marshal, got the promotion over her because he's popping some champagne in the office. Susie cries. Her dad comes over, says, listen, we just want you to be happy. It doesn't matter about all your accomplishment. She then opens a present from Billy without asking if it's okay to open before Christmas like a monster. It's a new rolling pin with her name on it. And she's going to need it because one of the teams gets disqualified after bribing two children that are judges with toys and candy. You just don't do that. They bake their version of the perfect Christmas, which is a gingerbread house in the shape of the community center. It's not the most Christmassy, but it is the best. And they win, and they get money to save the community center. And she gets a call that she actually did get the promotion, but it's going to be in Australia. So she talks it over with Billy. And Billy's like, no problem. I'll just come to Australia with you. She's cool with that. People cheer. And then they come back a year later. Everything's going good. And that was Sugar and Spice Holiday. Christmas Nice.
Holiday. We did
it. I said Sugar and Spice and Christmas Nice. I'm sorry, everybody.
It could have been called Finding Nemo, I believe, now that I think about it.
I do like that.
Hey, just a little update for those of you that still care about Pumpkin Town. The population of Pumpkin Town, 3,170. I still think that's high.
Where'd the 70,000 come from?
I don't know. The 70,000 was for all the county. That was the mix up there, just FYI.
Mix up in the Pickens County. We'll be right back.
We were going to get letters.
That's right.
We were. People in Pumpkin Town love this podcast.
They don't know how to write. Boy, oh boy, do I have news for you.
What is it?
I've been watching Christmas movies all July, and I've been getting email after email being like, Bran, how are you doing it? Where are you watching these movies? Are you watching them on
one of those expensive streaming services?
Yeah, or are you watching them on, I don't know, cable?
Cable?
And I'm like, no. Can I introduce you to Philo? Mm. Philo has all the channels that I personally want in my life.
Over 60 of them.
That's exactly right. I get my Hallmarks, I get my Lifetimes, I get my Realities, I get MTV, thank God. Yeah. And here's the good news, everybody. They also are giving us DVR that lasts an entire year and has unlimited amounts of storage.
I can put all the movies on
all the movies. You could literally record every episode of Ridiculousness and somehow, by the grace of God, you will not run out of space. It's amazing. And here's it gets better.
do YouTube TV, Hulu, all these others, they sell, they're $60, $70 a month. Is that what I'm going for?
No, you're not going for that at all.
What?
You're going for $25 a month.
What?
And even better, they're giving our listeners 25% off 2 months by going to philo.tv/DTH. That's philo.tv/DTH. It's the best deal, and it is even better than Ridiculousness on repeat.
Unbelievable.
Philo.tv/DTH. So Rob Dyrdek.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught this, but there was a commercial in our ad break for Ridiculousness.
Rob Dyrdek has a show where he talks about other
shows.
Clips.
And MTV runs it all day long.
And it's all day long.
It's crazy.
It's phenomenal.
That guy wakes up laughing. Uh-huh. He just is like, yeah, just count my money. What am I going to do today? Count more money.
Shout out to you, Rob.
You get it, Rob.
It's time to talk about a sugar and spice holiday.
Christmas things.
Very excited to break this movie down. I propose we do it with 4 segments.
Okay.
And I propose we start with the Razzle Dazzle.
Really? We didn't talk about this in show prep. I don't know if I'm ready. I've been ready this whole time, and now I'm not ready. Is what I'm
I vote
you.
Yes, you vote no. Alonzo, you're the tiebreaker. Are you prepared?
You know, normally I'd say yes, but I think I have kind of a Charlie horse situation that would prevent me from doing the rest.
Yeah.
I told you to stretch. All right, fine. We'll start with the hot take, and I guess I'll start with you. Are you limbered up for that?
I think so, yeah. I'm doing some isometrics under the table here. I like this movie a lot. I think it gets a lot of it right. The Christmas certainly is there throughout and you know, baked in, if you will. I love the family story. I love the presentation of the community. The diversity, of course. This is the first film, of course, cable Christmas movie with Asian American leads. I'll tell you this. This is one of the few, maybe I think that this is the first time ever while watching one of these movies that I paused and went and baked cookies and then came back and watched the rest
Look
of the
this.
Movie. It put me back. it got me so in the zone of like, I need to be in the kitchen making cookies right now because this movie is making it look great. But I would say if there's a demerit here, the lead guy, kind of a stiff.
Mm. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Brand
hey, we're a few weeks removed from Christmas Palooza, Cookie Palooza.
Cookie Palooza, yeah.
Did this put you in the mood?
I don't like, here's the crazy part. I don't like sugar cookies.
Oh,
like
boy.
they're not my thing. And so eating 55 of them pretty much cemented that I'll not have one for a long, long time. So I've not had one since. I can promise you that. Maybe a chocolate chip here and there. I mean, come on. But sugar cookies or frosting, forget it. I'm good for the rest of my life.
In the words of someone, I like it, I love it, I want some more
That's
of it.
That's Tim McGraw. You're looking for Tim McGraw.
In the words of Tim McGraw, I liked it, I like it, I love it, I want some more
I try
of
so
it.
Hard, I try so hard, I can't rise above it.
I can't. This movie was just great. I loved it. And I don't believe that the lead guy was a stiff. I quite enjoyed him. I thought he was fun. And I loved everything about it. I will say, a little bit goes a long way when it comes to the baked goods, you know, the comparison to the baked goods. I loved it at the beginning, and I quickly grew to not enjoy it as much. But I thought it was fun, and it added a little bit of something special to it. This movie, it's really great, and it just, again, just continues to boggle my mind, the qualitative gaps when it comes to Lifetime movies. It continues to boggle my mind.
It is a real roller coaster out there.
You just never know.
I think the best Lifetime movies are better than the best Hallmark movies, but the worst Lifetime movies are way worse.
That's exactly right.
You can't even see
that's
them
exactly
from the
right.
worst Hallmark movie. They're just so far down there.
That's exactly right. And I would have put this, you know, had we watched it in 2020, I would have put it up there probably in my top five for 2020 as far as Christmas movies go. It's really, really good. I loved it, and I'd watch it again in a heartbeat. Dan?
Yeah, Alonzo hit the nail on the head. It does most everything. It gets most everything right. Like, all the things that are not the fish in a barrel about these movies, which there's still plenty of those here, but like the bigger things that you just want to see in these movies, like a portrait of diversity and community and just people living a different way or just the way that you don't live in your house. This does that well, and it seems to be done effortlessly. Like, it doesn't, like, easier than it was for me to say that word. Like, it's easy for them to do this, and it feels very natural. I thought that they did all of that really well. it's not really my thing, but it has a couple things going for it. One, I was genuinely surprised by the plot in this movie twice. Two times I was like, wait a minute, this isn't how these movies go. And once even Bran just had his hands up in the air like, I can't believe that just happened. Second, the lead female, Jackie Lai, I believe is how you say it. Jackie Lai, she's wonderful in this movie. Yeah. I thought the male lead, Tony, I don't know how to say his last name, G-I-R-O-U-X. Giroux. I thought he was okay, but she was great. And then everybody else that comes along and joins in is really good. It's not something that I would sit down and watch personally. Like, it doesn't transcend to like a Snowed in Christmas or like a Snow Bride or something like that. But for what it is, this is how you make these movies. I mean, it was effortless in how they went about creating and crafting a world that was engaging and inclusive for everyone. By that standards, it's a home run, and it would have definitely been in my top five for homework in 2020. No questions asked. And I got to be honest, I think I just like Lifetime movies better, because the ones that are bad are just so terrible that I get like, that bobsled race, that's not happening every day.
Can't forget it, man. I think about it at least once a day.
So like those movies, like I think that works better for me than, 28 vanilla wafers and like one or two decent and one or two bad. Like I feel like Lifetime gets it. Like they're going to swing big or miss, they're going to hit big or miss big. And I enjoy that quite a bit.
I want to know, like, how we know that Hallmark, the execs up there, are very involved in the filmmaking process. I wanted, like, how involved is the Lifetime people in the making of the movie? Because it feels like if you are that involved, it would be more uniform.
Now, this hasn't been the case this year, but definitely in the Bill Abbott years, it felt like Hallmark was risk averse. It was like, we can't take this chance because there's a 50-50 shot it will go really poorly. Whereas Lifetime is just like, yeah, go for it. So I think they're involved. They're just pushing the risk a lot more than Hallmark is. And so, yeah, do the bobsled scene, whatever. So we'll do some green screens. It'll be fine. And if it isn't, then it's like, oh, well, that sucked. Oh, well, let's move along.
And the crazy thing about Hallmark is that as much as they had like one or two people sort of overseeing all of these projects, that didn't stop them from like having three movies about musicians that have to like decide whether they're going to sing in the talent show or go off on a TV special, or two movies about carousels 2 weeks in a row.
Come on.
Like, you would think that if with somebody guiding the ship that, on that much of a macro level, that they wouldn't overlap that much, but they do. And at least, yeah, Lifetime, maybe they have a little more freedom or they maybe do more acquisitions, but yeah, you get the impression that they're allowed to shoot.
The impression
the
that
fences.
I get,
yeah, we never had to. We would hear from numerous actors that Bill Abbott and Michelle Vickery. Bill Abbott was watching dailies. He was watching them, and he was given notes every day on every movie. Like, that is a different level of micromanagement there. Like, that is, for better or worse, I mean, you can say like the brand that he built made a ton of money, whatever, but if you're watching dailies for all 120 movies that you're doing and you're sending in notes, I don't think any other network at 120 movies is doing that. I mean, that the CEO of the company is watching the dailies and giving notes. That doesn't happen anywhere but Hallmark. It just doesn't.
It might happen at the GAC.
Yeah, it might happen at the GAC. You're right.
We're lucky. Yeah. It's the GAC attack.
GAC attack.
Back in black. The GAC attack.
It's good.
Thank you. Oh, it's coming out later this month, everybody. It's time for all the feels part of the show. We talk about what in this movie gave us feels. Alonzo.
A bunch, actually. I like the people as cookie thing, I think maybe more than you did. I thought it was pretty funny throughout, and I thought it was a smart way to allow for narration, which a lot of these movies just sort of like throw on and it just kind of feels desperate. This at least makes it the protagonist's story and also kind of gives you a quick rundown of who all these characters are in a hurry. So I thought that was a really sort of economical way to kind of like do that in the story.
I generally like the idea a lot.
Some of them
were a little bit of a miss for me, and I just felt like maybe there were a few too many.
When you start introducing like C&D characters in that, that's my, like, introduce the main six, but like when we're introducing the bad guys and we're introducing like the cousins, nephews, grandparents, it's like, okay, so maybe they're a beignet. Like, I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Fair enough. I got dead grandma feels because yes. I think that's another where this movie could have gone like way off the bend and not worked. But those scenes were really lovely and really moving. Clueless white guy feels. I love the scene early on where it's like, oh, I didn't know your people celebrated Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like, my people, I'm from Maine. You know,
yeah.
That was a great scene. And I think that's one of those things where even in a Hallmark movie where they have made it a blacks in the lead characters as opposed to whites in the lead characters. You would never get that granular a moment of like somebody bringing up a racial issue. Like it still exists in a world in which these topics are never discussed and there's never a problem. And so this one, without like getting on a soapbox about it, it was just this moment of like, mm-hmm, yes. And just her letting this guy like kind of, you know, giving him enough rope, which I thought was hilarious. I also love the stinky tofu scene for the same yeah. reason. You know, the most you're going to get from Hallmark is if we have Hispanic characters, there will be a tamale scene.
That's right. Yep.
And it's always a tamale making scene. Always. That's all they got.
Can't go wrong with a tamale.
This is like so culturally specific and you know, and kind of touches on that stuff. And it's like, yeah, I had to go Google stinky tofu. I didn't know it was a thing. Now I know it's a thing. And I think like Hallmark's always afraid to make you go Google something that you might not already know about. So they're going to stay with the tamales. A really impressive ensemble, I thought. Like, I know y'all don't share my fandom for Cardi Wong, but I'm always happy to see him. Tsai Ma.
I don't know if anybody shares your enthusiasm for Cardi Wong. I love it. I love it.
The bubbly sesh gals do.
The bubbly sesh and Alonzo are holding the torch for Cardi Wong. And I, you know what?
That's what the bubbly. Sure the bubbly's next venture being. Is, I believe.
A Cardi Wong podcast.
I'm in.
They call it the Wong Wong Watch Along.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like Tsai Ma, like legendary character actor. Dan, did you see Lulu Wong's The Farewell?
I did. It was wonderful. And Tsai Ma is great in it. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it was nice to see him in this. And then the whole notion of like, you know, this is exactly the thing that Dan brought up that bugged him about Christmas setup. It's like, well, you're rich, you could move, you know, why should this guy have to give up this amazing work opportunity if it's going to mean him going to London? So it's like the movie's like, oh, I have to go to Australia, and the guy's like, okay, great, I'll come too. It's like, oh, okay, so we're gonna do that. Like that never happens in these movies. She gets the great job on the other side of the planet and the movie's like, yeah, go for it. If the dude wants you, then he will follow.
That's right. Yeah,
I had fully prepared myself for her turning it down and wanting to stay with her family. Like she hadn't been home for the holidays for a while. She realized how much she loves being with her family. I'll just do something. I'll start my own firm here in Maine or something.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
Going
not
Australia,
here.
You can tag along if you want to.
Yep. This is lifetime, baby.
Man, that bacon scene in the kitchen. Good Lord.
There was some steam there.
I had to call my pastor afterwards. I was just, sheesh. Like, I mean, my bad. Like, I stumbled into it. I didn't know what I was getting into. Like, it was wild stuff.
Twice you looked over at me and you just couldn't believe, you were just like, oh,
cold
boy.
Shower for brand.
Oh, right. Boy.
Full ghost situation.
Wow.
That's right.
That oven is on.
That's right. Wow, what a scene.
Yeah.
So yeah, it gave me feels.
Yeah. There are a lot of feels in this movie, and I think I think a lot of yours were mine. Yeah. I will say that they found a way to subvert some of the genre expectations with not immediately winning the baking competition and with the guy going to Australia. A little bit of a wait what on that second one we can get to later. I love the fact, and I think that's the thing is, you know, step one for Hallmark was putting people of color and people across the spectrum in their movies. Step two is allowing them to operate in a world that's, you know, reflective of the culture and not just in a white world. I think that's the next step. And it's done here so seamlessly that you would think that people could just do this because it's easy. The stinky tofu scene, a great example of that. The white guy basically doing the where are you from bit. Another like just tentpole of what it's like to be an Asian American or a person of color. And they do it well. It's not ham-fisted. It's not heavy-handed. It's not over the top. And it works so incredibly well. Every scene with her and her grandmother in a dream or as a child works incredibly well. The family's love of food is evident in this movie. It's not a prop in this movie like the tamales in Playing Cupid or this one dish. It's not that. It's just a love of gathering and eating food and baking and cooking. And that was really, really good as well. So they just do this, like it almost works just too well. Like it just is, it none of it stands out. It just is a movie. Like it just is very much, and it doesn't hurt that you have people like Sai Ma in there who are just wonderful.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you know, Anglo audiences love those cultural details. Yes. They love to see, like, how immigrant communities live and eat and all that stuff. And like, Hallmark is leaving money on the table by not, like, playing with that and letting that be part of the Christmas thing, because then the members of that community will be thrilled to see it represented in a movie. And then boring white people are like, hey, the exciting thing I didn't know and food I had no idea existed. You know?
That's right.
I don't know. I mean, tamales, right? Like, what more do we need? Tamales.
Let's take a quick break, grab a tamale. We'll be right back here at Dagoma. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about a sugar and spice holiday. And we're talking about the wait what's now, the things that are in this movie that made us go, wait what's? Alonzo.
So early in the movie, Terrible Boss, who is a terrible boss, says that she is on a cleanse. So, you know, she can't eat cookies, but then the other dude brings in this basket of like snacky keto, whatever things. And it's like, if you're on a cleanse, that's you're doing nothing but like drinking gross stuff for a week or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a whole other topic that the cleanses are nonsense. But still, if you're on one, you're not eating
anything.
You're
not eating a can of Planters nuts. You're not doing it. Exactly. That's absurd. Yeah.
So that was a big eyebrow raiser. I really, you know, I question how stable this development project is if they not only move up the deadline a week during the holidays, which is, you know, what these movies always do, but also, oh yeah, by the way, it's now in Australia.
Thousands of miles away.
That might make a difference in architecture, you know, like the plan, like it's like, yeah, we want you to build this swimming pool. Oh, no. Now it's going to be in Antarctica and it's still going to be outdoors. Like that's different. You know, it's not just a mix and, you know, a plug and play here.
Do you think that the people writing the movie were like, they wanted to make a point of the guy going with the girl to the job and they were like, no, LA is too close. What's the furthest place away we could make it? Australia.
Yeah,
we need an antipode here.
That's right. Yeah,
that was bananas. But that was kind of it. I think for the most part, this for me, this held together. I'll be curious to see what you guys got.
I have a couple. A specific line that I don't think has ever been said in life, which is, "Oh, I'm getting a phone call. I gotta go take this." And someone looking back at them and just saying, "I'm gonna go get ribs," like it was a very interesting response. I'm gonna go get some ribs. BRB. I've never heard that conversation. I liked it. I'm gonna get some ribs real quick on the quick.
If ribs is an option, I would
absolutely.
I love ribs, but as soon as he said that, I looked for the rib buffet. Saw no rib buffet.
I'll be right back.
I'm calling BS, sir.
I'll be right back. I'm gonna go get some ribs.
Yeah,
Postmates stand. They'll show
if
up.
If you're getting ribs that quickly, because he gets them in a minute and a half. She's on that call for a minute and a half. He's got a plate of very disgusting looking ribs when he comes back. Are they just ready? Like, you just go up and it's like ready, hot. Is it like the Little Caesars of ribs? Is it hot and now, hot and ready ribs?
The vending machine.
The rib vending machine. Those ribs looked awful.
They looked awful.
They looked like what McDonald's was thinking about when they made
the McRib. In their defense, they did look like ribs that you could get in a minute and a half.
In a minute and a half.
So
that's true. They're going to open up lightning ribs. That's what we're going to call it. Yeah.
I got to go take this call.
I'm going to get some ribs. I'll be right back.
We'll be back here.
I'm going to go get food. I'm going to run over. I'm going to go get some ribs.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the 2020 movies, sometimes you can spy the COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And in this movie, the COVID protocol that I noticed was the team multiple times went hands in and their hands were inches apart. Yeah. Like they didn't do the on top.
That's right.
It's like, don't touch hands. Don't touch.
That's right.
No touching.
No touching.
Because you're all breathing next to each other.
That's
but
right.
Heaven forbid that your hands might brush against each other.
Now, I just could not believe that they let the kids still judge the finals.
I mean, after the bribery.
You kick those kids to the curb, metaphorically. Like, you do not let them come back in to judge the finals.
Yeah.
They're tainted. They are tainted judges.
You can't know.
You can't do it. No. The whole competition is now just a question mark. There's 15 big ones 15 on the line.
15 large.
And they're just letting those kiddos come back in and judge. It's wrong. And it's not how this should be done. And that's all that I got, Dan.
The baking competition is where most of my wait what's, are assembled. First of all, this is clearly like a fellowship hall in a church they're using of some sort. Where is everyone else's oven? Because there's just these folding tables set up, and then she pivots over to an oven to the left of her. That's the only oven, and we never see the oven in retrospect to the whole building. I don't know where everyone else is baking their ingredients because there are no other ovens in the room or anywhere. They're not in there. It's not a place you could hold a baking competition. Next, the way I understand it, there's supposed to be six teams, and then they get cut to four, and then they get cut to three. The problem is that I don't know if it was COVID, but there's never more than four teams that compete in this thing. You never see more than four, even when there's supposed to be six. There's really only four. Then they lose, and they lose because she put salt in where she should have put sugar. Well, if you're an expert baker, probably not going to happen. But even if it was, you would have different like color-coded labels on the sugar and the salt. These two things look like identical twins. They're trying to mess up. If you get two clear containers with red caps, put sugar in one, salt in the other, not label it, you're asking for a disaster.
That's baking competitions. That's just for baking 101 they're baking competitions. It's a tricky, they're tricky.
And then apparently they didn't taste anything before they put it on the plate. Because if they just taste it, they can leave those small things off and it's no problem whatsoever. He does this bit where he gives her these chocolate chips. He's like, hey, I got mint chocolate chips for you for when you get home, when you need a break. And she opens it up, and it's the classic surprise worm situation. How did she fall for that? Like, as soon as you grab hold of that can, you will find out pretty quickly that it's just nothing. It's just light and airy in there, right?
This is a guy who convinced an entire town that Tom Cruise was coming and they needed to make a video in their underwear and sunglasses. So obviously he is a master prankster.
Yeah, never underestimate the power of Billy Martin is what we're saying. She at one point says, my gold stars are what got you through high school. What kind of high school are you going to where you get gold stars? Like, this is why our education system's failing. I got straight golds on my report card, Mom. You're 17. lastly,
what'd you get on your AP exam?
That's right. Yellow means caution. They're giving me 3 credits in college instead of 6. Lastly, the big end of this movie is he goes with her, which is awesome. But I'm going to go ahead and say this. It is bold to have not talked to somebody for a decade and then invite yourself to move in with someone moving to Australia. Bold. Bold move. I like it, but bold. It's not like, hey, I'll come with you and get my own place. He's like, I'm coming with you. We're moving in together. We're serious about this. At that point, it seemed to escalate very, very quickly. That was my last
one. That would never happen in Pumpkin Town, I'll tell you that.
No.
Can I remind you that in A Very Merry Toy Store, they go from being lifelong enemies to married in over the course of a couple of weeks?
That's true. Yeah. But I mean, that's Mario and Melissa. All bets are off.
That's Mario and Melissa.
You're right.
They're wild cards.
They're both like 60.
Lightning in a bottle.
Both like 60. Good Lord.
They can't wait.
It's time for What the Lifetime, the part of the show we wonder what could have been, maybe have and give some clarity to the questions that we still have. Alonzo?
Well, I'm just thinking that mean girl, you know, reformed as she is now and, you know, aware of her, you know, like lactose intolerance and all that other stuff. I think there's a revenge element that is still hanging in the air there.
Okay.
And so I'm waiting for Susie to be like, you know, to lay low for years maybe and then eventually do just something really cruel in retribution because she has it coming. If she tortured her every day in high school, you don't get to just write that off as adult who's like, oh, I'm nice now. No, you'll get yours, lady. I just want to know when that day's gonna come.
Boy,
Guys, I gotta bring up the elephant in the room, which is Stavros.
Yeah, me too.
Stavros, the fourth team member. He's there for round one. Round two's coming around, and they're like, he had to go.
He's a family thing.
Family thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's weird.
And they're like, is everybody all right? Everybody's fine.
Everyone's fine. Comes back for round three. Stavros Beck says nothing to worry about. And we get zero information.
None.
No information. None. One, what happened? But two, what happened with filming?
Yeah. Like, yes.
What?
Yes. It's a both and.
What happened in his life? And also, what happened in his life?
Because it's clearly like the laziest writing of all time. Like, for a movie that's taken as much time as it's taken to painstakingly be accurate about the people it's representing, for them to just be like, we'll say it's family stuff. What is it? Doesn't matter. Like, I feel like it was last minute.
You would think, though, that all the baking things in that space would have been filmed the same day. If it was an issue with his...
I just desperately want some. That's mine.
The actor's busy schedule.
I desperately have to know the answer of what happened to Stavros and to the actor playing Stavros. Both of those things are very, very important.
Stavros, if you happen to be listening to this
come on, bro.
Whatever reason. Brand at deckthehallmark.com. Like, help a brother out.
We're going to be hearing some 2020 production stories, like, after time passes that will curl our collective hair, I'm sure.
Oh,
I'll tell you this much. DeSalt never would have happened under Stavros's watch.
No, not with Stavros there.
Stavros is a, what was it? A colon?
That was one of my wait what's. The guy is a classically trained pastry chef, and he's not leading this team. I just want to be clear. The architect that hasn't baked in years is leading the team. Classically trained pastry chef, I'll just be here if you need me. Like, what is that about?
You said classically trained pastry chef, and I like that. Yeah.
So what?
It's about her management. It's about her management skills.
Clearly, it's about her management skills. She her delegation ability. That's
exactly.
Right.
We did, everybody. Hey. Congratulations. Woo. A sugar and spice holiday. Christmas in July. What a fun thing. Mm-hmm. We'll be back tomorrow and the rest of the week, of course. But next Monday, Alonzo, you'll be back. And we'll be talking about Dear Christmas, another 2020 Lifetime flick. I'm very excited to talk about that. Alonzo, before we go, do you got any words of wisdom you want to leave the people with today?
You know, just I think kind of to circle back what we've been saying this whole episode, like this is the movie to look at if you are trying to diversify your slate, Hallmark and other channels. Like there's a way to do it that can where you can have some cultural specificity, and it's not just like let's make these, you know, Wisconsin characters now be, you know, people of color, but not change anything else about the specifics of their life, you know?
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Watch and learn.
Watch and learn. We'll see. We'll see. We had a wonderful day today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day, everybody who's listening. Dan,
come on.
On the cards.
Okay.
Until tomorrow, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark's a Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.